We're talking with Reverend Felicia Perez Zeta, who is one of the speakers at the 22nd annual Qatari Priest Conference, this year being done virtually because of the pandemic, from August 21st to 22nd. The conference really is focusing on the theme of Bending the Arc, which is the name of a book that has been published by the organizers of the Qatari Peace Conference to reflect and incorporate some of the write-ins that people have made over the years from the various speakers. So, Felicia, do you want to talk a little bit about, you know, what your contribution, you know, was to the book? Or, you know, what you'll be focusing upon at the conference?
Sure. Well, as far as the, and thanks, Mark, for having me. Good to connect with you. As far as the book, it's, you know, each of us were invited to talk about our way into activism. And for me, I really, and I told some of my story and how I'm an unlikely person to fall into activism. And yet it found me. And so, it's just really my journey, my journey, my call to this work, and my inability to say no to it. My absolute compulsion to be, you know, prayerfully a creator for peace and justice, especially at a time as this. So that was my contribution as far as the chapter. Yes,
you're doing a helping out with the retreat on Friday, and then you're also with an old actually neighbor of mine, friend of mine, Steve Brayman, helping out with a workshop or a panel on Friday evening around the themes of racism as structural violence and the peace movement. And I believe that also builds partly on your work with the Black Lives Matter movement out in California.
Yes, it does. And in fact, it really is part and parcel of my work as the founder of the Revolution of Love, which is a ministry and movement that is all about redefining violence and naming it immediately. So, you know, we're living through this global uprising, this global movement for racial justice and racial equality. And so it is important, obviously, to center Black lives, which we will be doing on Friday, and really unpacking all these different forms of violence, as is seen in white supremacy culture, you know, white dominant culture. So it'll be interesting to see, to have that conversation alongside Steve at such a time as this. So,
you know, my wife on the back of her car has a bumper sticker, you know, love trumps hate. And certainly there's been a lot of hate, which unfortunately seems to go along with racism. How do you, in this, you know, scenario where there's this real division, how do you get across that concept of a revolution of love?
As far as how do we bring justice and love to folks, this is where I don't know if this is how you meant it, but how do we bring it in during this time when there is so much hate, hateful rhetoric?
Yeah, but even how do you reach people who, you know, are you know, maybe hate's not the right word, but, you know, certainly their actions are viewed as hateful by many. I mean, the country is so polarized. And how do you inject love into that situation?
You know, it's a great question, Mark, and I'm glad you asked it. I am very, I take a strong stand in this way. For many years, my work in the realm of peace and justice was, in fact, trying to reach folks that are, I would say, mired and stuck in the dis-ease that is violence, whether it's racism, whether any form of bigotry, militarism. And what I've realized, Mark, is that there are plenty of people that are working for justice, like the 17 authors in this book, and the people that will be attending, that believe in another way, that are creating a new vision and a new way in a new world. And those are the folks that I believe we need to focus on. I don't spend a lot of time anymore, is what I'm saying, you know, shifting and trying to reach the unreachable. Maybe they'll be reachable at some point, but that's not my work. And I think we have more effervescence moving towards and building together and collaborating with the people that do believe and are not asleep.
You know, now the present, you know, Black Lives, you know, Matter movement seems to have, I don't know, touch a sort of deeper core of America than some of the other things. I mean, to be honest, to me, it was a little bit deja vu. And I was living in New York City when Eric Garner was killed and right after Ferguson. And, you know, and we, you know, at least in Brooklyn where I was living, you know, we were seeing, you know, the nightly marches and particularly a very intergenerational, especially among young people, though I have to say in particular, but also, you know, both black and white and other, you know, colors out there. Do you have hope that this is going to be different as opposed to something where the system sort of absorbs for a couple of months, then it goes back to sort of business as usual?
Again, another great question. You know, I was in the streets too in 2014 and so on, in Oakland and Black Lives Matter. And it seemed like it was going to go differently, didn't it? And the thing is it is important to realize that, like, people like Dr. Malina Abdullah, who's here in BLMLA, right here in Los Angeles, there's a bunch of people that continued and did not stop. I think, yes, it is a different time because of COVID and this pandemic. I think that it arrested everything. Because certainly we saw the videos. We saw Philando Castile. We saw Eric Garner. We saw all these people, black folks being murdered in the street. And yet something with George Floyd, because of that pause that we'd taken from the pandemic, it seeing someone's life literally snuffed out, I don't think people will ever recover from that. I pray that they don't. And I think we are in this for the long haul. I absolutely do. I mean, we saw this global uprising, which is now, yes, it is a movement. So we have to keep on with the work. It's a long distance running, for sure.
Now, certainly a lot of other movements have recognized the need, you know, whether it's the climate movement or the peace mm-hmm. movement, gay, lesbian, you know, rights movement, to articulate the need to stand in solidarity, you know, with the Black Lives Matter movement. But, you know, what's sort of your message to the peace movement as to how it integrates the need to address, you know, racism and structural violence as part of its ongoing core message?
Well, gosh, a couple different words came in when you asked that. Resiliency. As someone that's a Gen Xer, you know, I was born in 74, I'm aware that, you know, there's folks that I'm learning from and it's continue to get to learn from that have come before and been doing this work for a long time, and respect their absolute respect. And I think with that is there's the word resilience. I think we all need that right now, and that restoration so we can keep going. The other thing is new vision. What are the things that we are still not seeing in the peace movement? What are the ways that we are still settling for violence, that we're still settling for institutional or structural racism? What are the things that we are not seeing? We need to make the asks bigger. We need to ask different questions and really hold our feet to the fire on this and just be visionary, be absolutely visionary. So that excites me as far as bringing in just continuously looking at the pockets of ourselves that hold racism. I'm white identified. You know, what are the parts of me that hold that center whiteness that even might be violent and racist in thought and action? And so when we do that, that's, I believe, where we can lift off into a new place of awareness and vision. And that's a great starting point. That's a great starting point.
So we're out of time. We've been talking with Reverend Felicia Parazeta. I understand Revolution of Love is Zoomed on Sunday evenings if people want to go check that out. And I have a very, very long URL, which no one's going to remember. So if you want to do the Kateri Peace Conference, Kateri, you can Google that. And it's on August 21st and 22nd, and it will be done via Zoom this year, and people, you know, need to pre-register.